Hello, good morning, welcome. This is Civic Outlaws. I am Samuel Trapp. Good morning to you from the Lake Ozark Real Estate of the Art Studio, brought to you by the, let's call him Indomitable, because I haven't been able to use that word in a sentence in forever, and so the Indomitable J.R. Jonathan Hartenstein, owner of Lake Ozark Real Estate, and provider of Damn Radio in from the Lake Ozark Real Estate of the Art Studio, and I am Samuel. If you feel the urge, you can call in today, 573-746-8020, and if I choose not to ignore you, I shall push the little button that allows you to join the program and let you converse. I may or may not be having a guest this morning to talk about various and sundry items of interest to various and sundry folks around mid-Missouri. Ooh, folks. I just got to use the word folks. I'm like Barack Obama, or Barry, as JR calls him. I could say folks. Suddenly, I'm a folksy sort of person. Now I've used it several times in the same paragraph. Curiouser and curiouser. I want to talk about Missouri issues today. I want to talk about a couple of things, some of them that really bug the snot out of me. And I don't know why, because usually stuff, but you know what happens when you get older? Okay, now, so when you're younger, it's all about me. It's all about me. Well, it's always all about me. That's different. It has to be all about me, because I'm me. But if we take it when you're a young man, it's even worse. It's all about me. It's got to be about me, right? But it actually makes sense. It's a sensible thing. You've got life. I mean, you're trying to figure out what the hell life is, okay? And by the time you turn old, like me, then you already know what life is. There's no more real drama anymore, and you don't really give a shit what anybody else thinks. And that is when freedom kicks in. Finally, when you quit worrying about what other people think. Now, there are certain people that in their youth figured this out. And if you ever figure that out, and when you're in your youth, you're probably going to be a highly successful dude. Just quit worrying about other people, because trust me, they don't worry about you. And there's some seriousness to that commentary. I was involved in a meeting yesterday with a lot of interesting and highly successful people in the room. Some good people. And I've been talking and working on these issues. Everybody knows my licensing issues with the Missouri Bar. I mean, and how I've focused on that. And you're not going to change my mind on that. It's a corrupt BS process that they used to target me and destroy a man. And that is, they're not even government is the worst part. They're a quasi-governmental agency, right? They give themselves the flexibility to ignore rules that they don't want to apply. This is the trouble with government all over, and especially true of the Missouri Bar debacle that you have up there, where you get to target and destroy individuals you don't like, or individuals that might say things that you don't like. And the trouble with government is it attracts too many of those types of people. Now, when you're a politician, you have to run for office and try not to offend everybody, because you never know what issue it's going to be that at the last moment means you gotta push out this hanging chad, or retain that one. You don't know what's going to piss me off, like as a voter, I mean. And it could be 5 minutes before the vote came in, you know, you come out and you go, man, Sam said in his radio program yesterday that Jethro Tull is one of his favorite groups. And man, I hate Jethro Tull and I hate the flute. I ain't voting for that a-hole. You know, Sam's running for president and you're not going to vote for Sam. Why? Because at the last moment, he took out somebody that you just adore in Jethro, or that you just hate in music, and you don't understand some dude dancing around in tights and a flute. You don't get it, and or you don't like it. It's offensive to you, and so you never know what the public's gonna like or not like. So when you're a politician, you have to weave the slalom of public opinion. But once you hold that position, then you can be a little more flexible. Remember Barack Obama leaning over to Vladimir Putin and saying, you know, after the midterms, I have a little bit more flexibility. And they caught it on an open mic. And a little bit more flexibility to do various and sundry things. But, geez, don't screw up the voting now. You know, the Democratic Party will have a cow. You know, we can't do that. And unfortunately, these are the realities of a political life. But think about this. The people who, and the president, you know, you can do whatever you want once you get in office. You're freaking untouchable for the 4 years. So they can sue you afterward, as they did to Donald Trump. But they're pretty selective about that BS as well. And just because the Supreme Court says you can't do it doesn't mean they're not going to do it anyway. Everybody has to push the line. That's what lawyers do, right? But if you're a state worker and you've weaved your way up through the ranks, or worse, you get appointed by somebody, or you stay in there. Now, the heads, they all kind of follow the, or are supposed to anyway, follow the administration, whatever the administration's desires happen to be, and blah, blah, blah. But not so if you're now. So the president has his little bit of flexibility. The elected legislature has their little bit of autonomy and stuff like that. But the ones with the serious autonomy, there are two versions of them. One, judicial branch, who gives to themselves the ability to regulate the lawyer. Okay. And their rules, they don't even have to justify them. They don't have to say anything. You just go, stay out of our stuff. We're lawyers. We know stuff. Right. And they get to destroy people if they choose to. They get to have rules that are discriminatory. They get to have rules that are that allow targeting. They get to have rules that say, I mean, you'd never get away with this in any other profession. Never in a million years would you get away with me going down to the real estate board, filing, you know, taking all the exams, being qualified, taking all the exams, having a background check take place that says he doesn't have any felonies. And then you go in and you send this packet in to whoever in the board is there, and the board's sitting on it for 2.5 years. Or even 18 months. You wouldn't do that. The Supreme Court would have a cow just over that. And I'm telling you, they would punish somebody and say that that is an unreasonable time and it's wrong and you can't do it. However, if you wish to target particular people and you want a process that's completely opaque, that you can't see anything through and you never know how you're going to do it, especially in the state of Missouri, and you don't like Samuel Trapp, who files his application, and 18 months later, nothing has been done on it, absolutely nothing, and the Supreme Court makes a one-word ruling and says, no. You get all of the justices together in a room, and as long as it's about Samuel Trapp or whoever they're targeting at the time, they are able to answer with one word. Imagine that. Even if it was 7 or 9 or 15 people on the real estate board that went to the real estate board, and you file your application, you file all your stuff, and you submit it to them, and then you wait 18 months. Which makes no sense. 18 months after you have all the information, and then you wait 18 months, and whatever odd number of people come in, and they unanimously make a one-word decision, and that word is no, and they don't say why. And then they don't say, they just, it's not no because you are an evil perverter of innocent little girls, and or you, I don't know, you're a murderous bastard or whatever that they get to put together. They don't even have to justify it if it's a law license. They just, no, that's it. Nope. And then, so you file again the next day, and this time they make you wait 2.5 years and file them an identical report, the same damn thing. And they file that after 2.5 years with one word, nah. Now, and they don't tell you why, that, you know, well, may, what if I am an evil perverter of innocent little girls? I don't know. Perhaps I should be told that. And, but nobody tells you that because they don't have to. But they would never allow that in any of the other, some 42, I think it is, licensed professions in the state of Missouri. And I talk about licensing because we have created the Missouri Licensing Advocacy Group, okay? And we talk, the primary target right now is liquor licensing and the vast amount of overreach being conducted by the alcohol tobacco control people in the form of Kristen Templeton and her ilk and her group of folks that get to come around and command what everybody's going to do. You know, I command this and the lack of standard, the lack of everything that they're doing. I mean, it's truly nonsensical what they do. And I've already covered this. If you go back and look at some of the articles that I've posted. Now, we created molag.org and there's some fairly big news coming up about that. It's the Missouri Licensing Advocacy Group. And we are a lobbying company, 501c6. Our 501c3 is Civic Outlaws. It's this program. But they're both, you know, in our building, you know, and I am the director for both. And we have a good swath, I don't know, a good representation of various types of entities, bars, clubs, convenience stores, operators that we are assisting through the licensing process and are assisting because of the targeting that is going on. Now, you may have heard me talk about this before. I have two topics that I'd like to get to, and if my guest shows up, we're going to focus on the second one. And the first one, I wanted to talk about the lawsuit that was filed in about a week ago in Jefferson City. And this one, there it is. Okay, I thought I was going crazy. Thought I was losing my mind, and yet some people might claim that I have already lost it. Who knows? We have our own lawsuit being filed today. Our own lawsuit is the earthquakes that I was following yesterday, total of 235 dead, 4,300 injured, and thousands are missing. Feel like I want to go to Venezuela and help out. I had hoped to go to Venezuela a couple of years ago. I was in Colombia, and so I've done Colombia, I've done Peru, and I don't want to talk about that stuff. We need to get to where we're supposed to be today. But through the week, how about this? I'll talk about some of those things on International Flavor because I love to travel. 57 countries under my belt and counting. And I like to talk about those kind of things. And if you are interested, I also talk about politics from all kinds of those sort of things around the world and the importance of Americans taking a broader perspective because Americans generally do not. And it's disappointing to me because we're some of the smartest mofos on the planet. But we're... naively narrow-minded, and it's because we have not enough people have taken the plunge and going to explore and really explore different cultures. I had a conversation with a young lady last night about mosques and about international travel and about going around and seeing some of the absolute history. Just broaden your perspective a little bit. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you got to agree with me. Most people, depending on the topic, a lot of people don't, you know, but then again, a lot of people do. And I encourage you to do it. Make up your own minds. That's definitely what you're supposed to do. You're allowed to disagree with me. In fact, I appreciate a good disagreement. Make sure you come armed for battle. It's a shame to have a battle of wits with an unarmed opponent. It's really depressing. And I got in an elevator one time, and I forget, I was on the phone or hanging up the phone, and I was on my way the following week. I was making some plans to go to Russia, and there were three ladies in the elevator already. This is in St. Louis, and they were already in the elevator. And I get in, and I'm finished up the phone call, and I said something about, I'm flying into Moscow. I'll see you there. And it was something like that. And I get off the phone. And one of the ladies goes, she was polite about it. She goes, I heard you hanging up. You're flying into Moscow? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, you're not afraid? I was like, why would I be afraid to go to Moscow? And she says, oh, it's Russia. They, they're evil over there. You know, they, what about getting arrested? I think, remember the basketball player that was arrested, she was in for marijuana or something. And she was, oh, they arrest people over there. They put you in jail. Oh, yeah. Every American that flies in, they just stuff you in a box and put you in prison. Said, don't come visit us. You're going to prison. I was like, no. It's like, you go to another country, you should probably, follow the rules. If it's what I'm thinking. I didn't say this. I just, I'm going in there and, don't believe everything you hear. But all three of the ladies, like, I'd never, and they started talking about it on the way up to the whatever floor, and they're going, yeah, I wouldn't go there. No way. It's nasty. And they was like, these people have no idea on what to base their opinion on. That's the point. And so sometimes you're having a battle of wits with an unarmed set of opponents in that case. And it just, my encouragement to everyone is, I'm a skeptic. Don't accept everything you hear just because you heard it on a source that, might say news afterward or but it's only commentary, and whoever owns it is who's pumping sunshine, right? And they're pumping that sunshine. You don't always have to accept it, nor should you. Make your own determinations, make your own suppositions, and then support them. Support them. Support what the hell you're talking about, please. And if you do that, I will always honor your commentary, your background, your position. I'll defend it. I'll help you defend it, or I'll try to learn and be curious as to, why is that? I don't know. What does that matter? Who cares why? I said so. I see. Particularly good coffee today. So I went somewhere yesterday, had a nice lunch, and when I was leaving, I had some cold, it was kind of dead tea, and I went up to the bar and I said, hey, can I get another slug, another belt of tea, can I have that? She goes, man, I just made some coffee, and our coffee is fantastic. Would you like some coffee? And I was like, yeah, she says. She goes, I just made an iced one for some. I was like, I don't really care for iced coffee, just regular. And comes back a minute later, hands me a coffee. It was a cold day. I freeze my nuts off when it's raining. I shouldn't talk like that. Holy crap. Sorry. I'll try to behave. How about that? But freeze your little doodads off when it's raining, and it's not good. And I'm always cold. And so I appreciate a good coffee several million times a day. And she gives me this coffee, and it really was good coffee. And I just wanted to say thank you to that nice young lady for the great coffee. And I appreciate a good coffee, and I'm going to sip mine again because it's pretty damn tasty. So I have several different coffee machines. I got Keurig, 1, 2, 3 Keurigs, and then I have two machines with the milk, the frother that comes along with it. And I would recommend, now The descaling process is kind of crap on it. It's not crap. It's just frustrating. On the Nespresso, N-E-S-P-R-E-S-S, is obviously a play on the word espresso, but the Nespresso machine. And so my coffee love, I do like to go to coffee plantations, and I've been to several coffee, tens of coffee plantations in different countries just because I like it. I went to one in Sri Lanka that was particularly noteworthy, and they at the end give you a coffee, and they have tea leaves in the next door, and you can, so it's pretty cool. And I like going to various ones and then buying a bag of coffee beans from those particular places and then mixing it up as you go along. Got my own little coffee grinder. I'm like a monkey with his little coffee grinder, and it plays music. No, anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the petition that was filed in Cole County last week. We're filing another one today. And this one's on behalf of MOLAG, which is and our members, which is going to be filed today. And that lawsuit is the Missouri Licensing Advocacy Group. It was in its final preparation stages to be filed late last night. The button never got there. I think there were might have been a final check. And you know what? When you practice law, as long as I did, and I don't practice anymore. I'm a charitable organization director is all I am. And but when you did, which I did, and I would practicing, you're always practicing, you're never getting any good at it. I don't understand that part. But you always, for me anyway, one of the most effective things to do to prepare your pleadings and prepare your attack, your opening salvo, as it were, on the opposing party is to draft it 2-3 weeks before you want to, if at all possible. Now, if you can't and you're pressed by time and it's an emergency and you got to get it filed now, you draft your pleadings, you reread them, you have somebody else reread them, then you have a third person reread them, you get it, because you don't want to be an idiot. You know, one of the things that they do, lawyers are dicks, and they like to be that way. So if you misspell something in your petition, they'll make sure to, when they answer the petition, they will absolutely put the little parentheses sick, which means that wasn't us that made that error. It was the idiot who drafted these pleadings, right? And they'll make sure to point out your misspellings and all your other stuff. And that is why, and if you're a guy who can't see, I got little floaters in my eyes, it drives you nuts. You got to read them like 10 times and make sure you don't misspell them. And it's like, so, make sure that what you're typing is proper. And anyway, so when you do it, it's common for a lawyer to draft them, let them sit for a few days, draft them again, or reread them, draft them, go, oh, no, that's not quite what I wanted to say. Or the argument may have developed or something like that. And you put that argument out. And these sets of pleadings, we drafted a couple of weeks ago, and we've had them ready for a little bit. And there's a couple of changes. Notably, one of the changes was this other lawsuit got filed first. And this lawsuit has to do with, and we're going to do an article on it. I did an article last week. That article is already published out on my LinkedIn site. And you can go, I think my LinkedIn site is at Samuel Trapp. Might be a 2 on the end or something like that. Maybe I'll pull it up for you and tell you how you can get to it and read those articles. But you can also go out to civicoutlaws.com and go to the action tab and check it out. Let me not tell you lies here and make sure that they are all accessible, as I'm 90% certain that they are in the appropriate format, which I am sharing with you now. But I have to go to LinkedIn in order to get that. By the way, we have some great musical choices for you, at least in my humble view. We're going to play some here in about 20 minutes. We'll get a music piece or two. I got one that I wish to play in particular that I don't know why I just do. Perhaps I'm an oddball. Let's see. We're going to go to the Civic Outlaws website. We're going to watch our action tracker. And where are my articles? Scoop-de-doo-de-doo. We're going to check them out for you. And We have a whistleblower section on there as well, and you can send and take some stuff. If you certainly go out to civicoutlaws.com/ podcast, you can get some pretty cool stuff. The last podcast was out there, and these are the dates. On June 9th, I posted something regulating by threat letter and targeted enforcement. These documents are out there at civicoutlaws.com/blog. And every time I write a new one, I will put it out there. And I put one out there that says Civic Outlaws, Who Runs Missouri? And that's the article. All of the podcasts are out there. If you go to civicoutlaws.com/podcast, all of my prior programs are out there. And if you need a particular or are looking for a particular article or something that I've written, I haven't done. So I skipped last Friday, had some things come up last Friday and was unable to do a show. So the last one was June the 12th. And if you go out there, you can listen to the past podcast by going to civicoutlaws.com/podcast. And I did one on June the 5th of Who Runs Missouri, the Missouri businesses in the crosshairs, the Missouri licensing state, licensure, and they go back. And when we first formed MOLAG, MOLAG's been around about a whole 3 months right now. And we have we're up to... in the membership group, we have a pretty good number of operator and convenience store and entity groups that are represented on a group scale. And there's strength in numbers, obviously. That's why MOLAG is important. But MOLAG isn't just liquor licensing. We're talking about, because the big debate has been for the last... several years, has been the these VLT machines, the virtual lottery terminals, okay? And VLT is a gaming sort of thing. But these the world has changed. And I wrote an article and talked about it last week on this. And the lawsuit has been in the works for a little bit by MOLAG on behalf of all of its members. And these the members, I've met with many of them repeatedly over the last several months while we prepped this. Because Torch has been, a one-man show. I had an operator tell me not long ago, and the way we take these, you know what? I think it was a retailer that told me that, a location. So we call them operators and retailers. The operators are the guys who create distribute the machines. The operators are people like Torch, okay? People like J&J, these other people coming from other states to come in and, that want to expand from other states into Missouri. And Torch has, of course, been burying them because they came in because it wasn't illegal. And now I've shared with you all the nonsense that has been undertaken on their or at their expense, basically. And I think incorrectly so. And the horror story of 572, the revised statute in Missouri, that isn't well defined. And now Catherine Hanaway and company have created an environment where they're going to target people. They're going out, they're arresting businessmen. Dude, you have nothing better to do, seriously, than go out and arrest people who are paying whatever the line item will be. I had one guy tell me that 30% or more of his revenue came from these gaming lottery terminals, which means the state of Missouri is losing the tax on that. This is so asinine. What Catherine Hanaway and company are doing. I mean, it's just foolish. It's because the world has changed from whatever you thought it was, where people don't like gambling, or the gambling's only supposed to take place in a casino, or that casinos are the only people that are allowed to make money. There was an argument thrown out there that that these machines are all run by cartels. Yeah, that's likely. You're far more likely to have a cartel run a casino, according to all the movies you watch from Hollywood, right? The cartels and the mafia run the casinos. That's where all the money is, right? That's where all the cash runs through. Those are the people with the biggest lobbying efforts, right? So maybe, just maybe, somebody is making a play for a bigger spot in life. You know, I want the next spot, and how do I do it? I attack VLTs so that the casino industry doesn't have to worry about doing it themselves. The casino industry, number one, isn't going to lose a nickel off of these machines that are in a gas station or at your veterans club. There ain't no way. Now, I'm a veteran. You know, don't piss me off. I won't vote for you. That's how it works. We're veterans, right? And, you know, we believe what we believe. You can convince us, but you sure as hell ain't going to dictate to us, are you? And you should be afraid to. So get this. If you're told that you can, who are we targeting? Who's being targeted? I mean, seriously, who's being targeted? You take out the big fish and the rest of them will fall into line, right? So what have you done if you're Catherine Hanaway? You've scared the entire state. We have people coming in and there's signs on these machines posted by Torch. And rightly so. I mean, they don't want to lose those spots. They don't want to lose where they are. But the only machines that have ever been declared incorrectly, in my view, declared illegal are Torch machines. Torch. That's it. Only Torch, by the way. And only a certain class of Torch machine. Only ones with a certain thing in there. But you have Catherine Hanaway sending in police officers going, look, you need to go target this guy. You have a prosecutor going after this person. You have someone getting charged in one county different than someone's getting charged in another, because each of those are prosecutorial decisions and they have to look at the evidence. But what is the evidence? I mean, in all seriousness, what's the evidence? You send them a letter, you threaten the hell out of them, and you go, comply. Here's your comply. I tell you what, you comply. I say these machines are illegal. Yeah, but Catherine, tell me why they are illegal. A judge said they're illegal. No, he didn't. He said that a jury ruled that they were illegal, and he also said, I don't need to know that to make a decision in this case. It's definitely appealable. If, frankly, if any decent lawyer would take a look at it and go, you know, he argued against himself extensively in his first motion or in his first ruling on declaratory relief. Everything that he did in the second one, he denied in the first one, and he just changed his mind. Okay, well, I changed my mind. All right. Well, let's see if the appellate court upholds that change of mind. We'll see. But the fact is, it is not established law. The law is in a state of flux. The law is in a, it's unclear for 2 years. And I have the bills that passed in the House the last 2 years. I have copies. I've read them and I've put them in, they're different. Each one's different. And then you had the Senate who wrote other ones that never got anywhere, but mainly they just stopped the other two from getting anywhere, right? And stopped the House versions from getting anywhere is what I mean. And the fact is, what you've got is some dictatorial bureaucrat in the form of Catherine Hanaway and company, and an even more dictatorial alcohol tobacco people that are beating people over the head with basically a wet noodle of a ruling. Because that ruling isn't a club, and it shouldn't be used as a club, because that ruling is a weak ruling. And plus, it's in a civil case. It has nothing to do with Missouri criminal law. And Catherine Hanaway's out there doing what they say you're not supposed to do in the state of Missouri any longer. She's out there interpreting things as an administrator, just like we've been bitching about with Kristen Templeton and the alcohol tobacco control folks doing the exact same thing. And by the way, they're doing it in gaming too. And that is the stronger position. So I was speaking to a guy recently who has quite a few locations in St. Louis. Or was it Kansas City? No, he's St. Louis, dude. And and he was saying that now there's a potential that his alcohol license, his license to sell alcohol, and this is the club that they're beating people with. And ATC is, this is all they got. And by the way, I say what they're doing is not constitutional, that it is illegal. Now, judge has to rule that way, and that needs to be brought up to a judge. And I shared with you the case of Dan Green was the judge on the case that was Torch versus Director of Revenue, I think it was, or DPS. No, it's DPS. And that went to the appellate court, and I shared that with you, and Dan got that right. And he stated that Torch back in 2019, when they were just taking over all of the business in Missouri, they're already make, you know, butt tons of money in other places. Good for them. We appreciate that. That brings business to the state of Missouri if the collective bureaucracy of Missouri and the legislature can all get together and work together. And some of them pull their heads out of their collective behinds and smell the coffee. You know what, which, by the way, we need some more coffee. So if they pull their heads out of their collective rear ends and get something done, it's actually going to be to the benefit of everyone. By the way, including the casino guys who are so against it and they don't know why. They claim it's going to cost them business. My ass. That's what I say. My ass that's going to make you lose business. I've already told you why. You might think that you have an expert or you think you're going to lose something to old Sergeant Trapp headed down to the VFW post and putting in some money in a machine in a back room while he has a couple of brews with his foxhole mates. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? They're not going to hop in their car and drive to the nearest one's Boonville, but nobody even goes Boonville anymore. That is locational. You needed one in the central Missouri, but far enough away so it's not Jeff City. You know why? Because all the legislators would be there gambling. They'd all be there. I used to run with some of these guys back in the day. That's exactly what they did. Who did I always take to Boonville? Several legislators. Uh-huh. And on the way, he'd stop in Columbia and do some partying on the way or on the way back. And that's why they don't want a casino in Jeff City. All the legislators would be there. And that's facetious, of course, but it's actually, you know, in part it's true. These are powerful, famous people, you know, at least temporarily in Missouri, which, God, that's awesome. You know, if I have a favorite item about Missouri, it's friggin' term limits. You know, the fact that these people get into office and live there and die there, it's nonsense. And I think the term limits ought to be even shorter. And that we ought to do something. Of course, in my view, no judge should be immovable either. They ought to be in there. I don't give a crap if you give them retirement forever. It doesn't bother me at all. Appoint them. You know, I'd like a steady judge for a little while. But this untouchable BS that the judicial branch gets to wield above everybody else, everybody knows why. They protect lawyers and they take out the noisy ones. Me, they take them out. Hey, yep, jump in there. Looks like we have us a guest. And tell you what, I have some items. Let me turn you on there. Hold on. The yellow, that's yellow. Yeah, that's not green. I'm going to introduce to you Mr. You know what? I'm not going to do it. We're going to play a musical selection. You and I'll chat a minute, and then we'll come back. And I found it already. Let me, we're going to play something from the long, long past is what we're going to play. And think John revolting. I mean, Travolta, when you hear this, because this, these are the days. I had to learn this dance in fifth or sixth grade. We had young teachers that played this to us, and we learned, and we are back. Hold on. Yes, we are. No, we were back. We just played some extra tunes because I forgot to turn them off. I'm here with Jeff Vernetti, and we have invited him into the program. He's agreed to show up, and he is sitting across the table from me, and I'd like him to introduce himself and tell us a little bit about himself. Go on as long as you like.
Yeah, good. Well, it's good to be here. Never give a microphone to a politician and say, you know, just talk for a while. Like, the rest of the show. No, I'm Jeff Vernetti. I represent... 123rd District, which is the majority of Camden County here in the Lake of the Ozarks.
Well, that's awesome. You and I have been communicating in the past about licensing issues. You know, my my drive has been talking about in my view, and I know I've shared some of our articles with you. I've met with you at the Capitol and other places, and am pretty vocal about licensing influence by regulators and what I believe to be bureaucrats.
Yeah.
You're familiar with those, and I'm in particular interested in alcohol tobacco control and the currently Catherine Hanaway and what I feel to be overreach on issues where they really interpreting criminal law and interpreting using criminal law to administratively, and in Hanaway's case, sometimes criminally, beat Missouri businesses back on something that you've been working on. You shared your bills from me with the VLT from the House side, and I've read them both over the past. Can you tell us a little bit about that argument from your perspective?
Absolutely. And too, that's a big problem in state government in general. It's when the legislature runs up against bureaucrats and members, you know, staff members in state departments that interpret state statutes one way or twist it away or just fully do their own thing outside of statute. And this happens in a lot of different areas, and that's when the legislature and others and people like yourself and grassroots people and strong business folks, it doesn't really matter where you're coming from. People have to push back against it because, you know, we're term limited. Representatives and senators are term limited. And these bureaucrats, they want to protect their kingdom in many cases. They want to protect their area. They want to protect their budgets. And, you know, and they can wait us out because we can get voted out. Now,
and they do wait you out, don't they?
You know, we're throwing a big net, too. There's plenty of tremendous men and women in state government.
I agree. I agree.
There's plenty that are bad. And you've got to find those folks.
Bad and good are very relative, but there are people that always act on their own behalf or their own position or their own authority instead of acting for who they ought to be acting.
Plenty, though, that couldn't be better on constituent things. So it's a big broad net. It's sort of like the saying, you know, all the lobbyists are bad and every politician is corrupt. You know, you can't say those things.
No,
that's just wrong. But
no.
To get to this, you know, yeah, it's been in the news a lot, and it's been an issue that's dominated my 2 years in the legislature. I'm wrapping up my first term and running for my second. But the issue of VLTs, these gray machines, you know, there's a couple of different larger companies that are currently in the state. There's plenty of little ones. But then there's some big ones that are in other states that want to come here. And the issue in my 2 years has been, okay, these machines are out there. You've got people using them in all walks of life, from regular businesses and sports bars to plenty of VFW and you know, American Legion halls, you name it. And then there's plenty of businesses out there that are operating sort of in the underground of legitimate casino-like slot machines where it's legitimately pumping out money. But that's in the real minority. The majority are these second chance games that, that tell you if you're going to win before you push the button. They have been proven to be not gambling, but people consider them still gambling. And that's, you know, the vagueness of them. Are they legal? Are they not legal? So in the last 2 years, the legislature has tried to define that, make them, you know, give them a category, define what machines are allowed, where they're allowed, how they're implemented, how they're regulated, where the money goes, rather than what happens right now, which is this gray area, hence the term. So, you know, and the legislation has been around for a bit, but these last 2 years, it's really just picked up steam because now we're seeing crackdowns that have trickled down to our current attorney general, where they're, you know, in the first time in really state history, they're, you know, the AG working with law enforcement is going up against some operators throughout the state to pull machines, fine people. And so what you've seen is a couple of the big companies like Torch, they're the major operator that's here currently, but there's some companies like J&J and some others that operate in other states that want to be here, but they'll only be here if it's legal, if they're legally regulated, like Illinois. But Illinois has pretty stringent
rules. They got their own...
Yeah, they have pretty stringent rules.
Right.
I mean, they're in their own areas and stuff. But yeah, the legislation's been interesting. It's evolved, and I'll be honest, my opinion on them has evolved. My first year, the legislation, I thought the legislation was not as good. The companies in the state could not get on the same page. So even people operating in the same sphere disagreed. So you had a lot of different people coming at you from what the legislation is and isn't. I personally don't like the machines right when you walk into a gas station. I don't like the confusion that they provide young people in that they look like video games. And then there's a lot of places where they'll put them right next to a golden tee and a, you know, a big buck hunter. They look like an arcade. I want them defined as these are things for adults. They're second chance. They need to be put in their own areas and stuff. But as I went around my district, again, I represent the majority of Camden County. I was not for it my first year. And then I credit the bill handlers and the folks that really grinded on the legislation to work with a lot of the people that had problems with it, like myself, and they've added language to keep them in a separate area. They have worked well with some municipalities that push back that now have gone backwards and are allowing them. I mean, I'm pro-business. I want businesses to be able to operate, you know, fairly and equally. And so I don't like picking and choosing winners in any legislation in any field. And I think this legislation has done a good job of that, evening the playing field among operators. So I just think they just did a really good job getting it ready. And also, states in a budget crisis, this could add $200 to $300 million to
state
revenues.
Yeah, that was the interesting part to me.
When... So there's just so many things. And then I met with county commission, prosecutor's office, local municipalities. I just didn't see any big pushback here in my district against the machines. I could name a dozen businesses right now. I won't, but I could name them that want to know what to do with the machines. You know, they're worried about plugging them or unplugging them, but they're critical because of our seasonal revenues here. You know, we've got a winter businesses struggle because of our seasonality with tourists. So all those things, and then my big operator, Casey's gas station, you know, they don't have them, but they would put them in if it was legal, like they do in other states. So I just had a lot of factors. I support the legislation now, and I believe we're going to have a big push this next session to get it passed.
Oh, I think so. The lawsuit that was filed by this Tuners against Catherine Hanaway, I've reviewed the entire thing. I don't know if you have. It was filed last Friday. I kind of doubt it.
I've seen the stories, and you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I've read the stories about it. And again, I like that we're trying to have a sense of urgency to let's do something here because I'm supportive of them being legal, but they either need to be completely illegal and we ban them everywhere where it's cut and dry, or we allow it, regulate it, and you know, maintain a revenue stream for the state and for the businesses that want it. But customers can choose to use it. Businesses can choose to have them. But like, I go into Signal Gas Station in Kempton all the time. Great folks. They've got six machines. They're Torch. Torch has turned all their machines in the state off for the time being. Mm. But there's signs on them saying to contact your representative.
Right,
I voted
right.
yes, so yeah, don't yeah. contact me.
Leave me out of
it. But the Senate stopped it last year. Cindy O'Loughlin, who is the president of the Senate, who's not coming back.
She's termed out.
She was adamant that they weren't. It wasn't going to happen on her watch. But we'll see the next leadership turnover. We'll see if we can get a favorable response from the Senate. But I think we're seeing the ball roll on this a little bit more.
Well, I hope so. I'm a person who believes that, like many, especially in this area, that, you know, don't bother me and I won't bother you. If you have certain things that you like that I don't particularly like, as long as you're not stuffing it in my face, okay. Yep. But I don't see a difference between these sorts of machines and online poker on your phone or...
Well, we have sports gambling.
Sports
now.
Betting that has been allowed, whatever, last year, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just became law last year. So, yeah, and I'm with you. I'm a free market guy.
It's just, okay.
I'm not playing the machines.
No, like, I don't do it either.
That's just me.
And that's why I say that the casinos aren't losing a nickel. In fact, right before you walked in, I was just saying that, you know, my beef with this is I believe that the casino, and I've heard this from other people, that the casinos are the biggest people that are anti, you're costing
them. They're heavily against them.
You're not costing them a nickel if you pass this, because when I go to the casino, I'm not going just to throw a few dollars in a slot machine. I'm going for the weekend. I'm going to play poker, to spend some money, to gamble. Yep. And if I play some slot machines, that's great. But I'm not going to do the exact same thing at the local convenience store. Yep. You know, I'm going to get a group of buddies together and go down and play video lottery games.
Again,
I'm not going to do
my
it.
My yes vote, my opinion is clear on that agreement. It's just, the casino industry feels that it hurts them and it takes customers from them. So they're one of the big pushbacks. And then again, the other big pushback is people that consider these gambling and don't want it. It's the same people though that didn't want sports gambling and don't want additional casinos. So like that legislator, that representative or senator, has just an opinion on gambling
right,
in general.
Exactly.
So that person's going to have that opinion irregardless
of what
lobby is coming their way. Mm-hmm. There's just a number of us in that other sphere where, I mean, look, I'm not necessarily the world's biggest gambler or, you know, anything like that. I've been in countless bars, VFWs, gas stations around the district, talking to as many people as I can about this because I think it's an important issue. What do my constituents want? And the business owners are clamoring for it, but also more than anything, they want the clarification.
Well, exactly.
I was at a restaurant the other day. The guy's asking me if he should turn his machines on. Right. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm never going to tell. I was like, talk to your attorney.
Right, and they're also scared of it.
That's the problem I have with. I don't want to have scared business owners about a revenue stream that's been so far, in their opinion, legal.
Right.
So most of us aren't lawyers. So
it hasn't been specifically illegal.
Exactly.
Or somebody would have been doing something long before.
And what we're trying to do is define it. What is it? And I don't think anybody in the legislature wants what we all know as slot machines, where money is being dispensed in gas stations and bars and restaurants.
Right.
So we're pushing back on those doing it illegally. Like this legislation defines what second chance games are allowed.
Right.
What mechanisms, because there's a lot of them. There's tons of manufacturers, but there's a couple of the big ones and the bigger companies. They're nowhere near what a slot machine does.
Exactly.
But there are bars and restaurants and VFWs
that have actual slot machines.
No, they're pumping out Vegas-like slot machines.
Right, right.
That's illegal. We should be pulling those.
No doubt.
And pulling liquor licenses and you name it. They should be going after it. If you have it, but most don't. But they're out there.
Right. My problem has always been, who in the hell gets to make that choice?
I know.
If you walk into somebody's business and just go, well, it looks like a slot machine, sounds like a shot slot machine, therefore you're breaking the law and you arrest them and you destroy their lives, that's crap.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only ones that have been found illegal are these vanilla style torch specific machines that that they produce. And this alleged definitive ruling from a civil case says only that.
Well,
it doesn't.
I appreciate what you and the organization and your followers and the businesses you guys have kind of put together on these issues. I appreciate what you guys are doing because, you know, calling light to things, directly challenging things, or anything in between is all good thing. I mean, that's what we need. I mean, I, just from my perspective, legislators need assistance from their constituents on issues affecting their livelihoods. And this is that direct impact and feedback for me. And then, you know, and others, because you guys are active to my peers in the Capitol. But more than anything, there are so many business owners about any issue, pick one, doesn't matter. They're so in their bubble. They're so with the blinders on because they need to operate their business and operate it for their families and for their employees to keep it profitable. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times the noise and the distractions or the things that are directly affecting them, they don't see it coming till it hits them in the face. And things like this where they're pulling revenue sources. Mm-hmm. So we need to do the best we can to get out in front of and helping business owners fix a problem before it becomes a problem. And I think this is just one that's gone on way too long.
Way too long.
And we've got to define it. I really feel like when we go back in January, this will be a 2027 issue that gets fixed and becomes law one way or another. Mm-hmm. I really believe it. The governor is for a solution. I think the legislature, you're seeing, I mean, the House has passed it the last 2 years. I did not like the first version that I voted on. It passed barely. It was a real contentious one person.
Yeah, I read that one.
The board stayed open for like 40 minutes to get the last vote. I mean, things that don't happen. So it squeaking by is an understatement. Last year it passed better. And still though, we need the Senate.
Well,
to
last
act.
Year's was a pretty good one. I read that and that,
it
but
was
I didn't
way better legislation.
Mm.
So
there's some disagreement, but hey, sure. as a huge base to start, I liked it.
Well,
you
got a lot of moving pieces in a big
tons,
state.
Yeah,
a big state with a lot of opinions. So
and plenty of what do you call it? Metro area.
Exactly.
You know that.
Well, I mean, we rural areas think different than urban.
No
and,
doubt.
And northern Missouri thinks significantly different than southern Missouri. And you know what I mean?
Iowa
you got,
influence.
Yeah, you got big college towns. You've got, I mean, you've got areas where sports gambling and anything casino-like has always passed big. And you got some areas that anything that smells of gambling will go down 60-40 or 65.
Right, right.
And there's no changing it. So, like, there's just huge ebbs and flows in the state. So crafting legislation of that size that is a coverall is a challenge, but I think they did a good job. And I think they'll continue to work on it as we come back. I'm sure it's going to be a little bit better, and you know, they'll take the feedback of those that have been no's and try to fix it. But until my area, until my other elected leaders, until my municipalities, until my business community, until my local law enforcement wants me to do something different, I'm a yes.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Our organization, Missouri Licensing Advocacy Group, we have a suit being filed. It was supposed to be late last night, but there are some final technical, getting it ready. It'll be filed later today. Do you mind if I share that with you?
Absolutely.
Once I get it, I've got your emails, and
we'll do this again.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. I appreciate your efforts and what you're doing for the. You're always been accessible.
Well,
if I need to get a hold of you, I can, and I appreciate you coming in today. I know
anytime.
You got a,
off to another one, but thanks for having
running.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for
Thank
coming.
You.
Yep. You have a good day.
You too.
And there he goes. We definitely appreciate Representative Vernetti coming in today and discussing these critical issues for our area. And certainly I share with him all of the articles that we publish here and all of the discussions regarding it. He's also happens to be on the licensing subcommittee. And I do intend to pick his brain, if at all possible, regarding the travesties that I discussed earlier about the Missouri Bar, and perhaps come and see if he'll hook me up with some of their people. I'm going to do something about that this year. I may not be successful. Wasn't successful before. Doesn't mean I'm not right. Just because you're not paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. Just because you're not, just because you're right doesn't mean you're going to win. And there's a lot of opposing forces out there. I very much appreciate him coming in sometime, and I realize he is in demand, let's say, especially during the reelection period. And let's see. I wanted to talk a little bit about the two suits, one that has been filed. I also heard that there's several more coming. I heard something yesterday that was really troubling to me, in that now the lack of clarity in the state and the alleged clarity that Catherine Hanaway is dictating selectively, depending on who you are. Allegedly, she is saying, well, we're not going to go after VFW halls. We're not going to go after Elks Lodges. We're not going to go after those charitable organizations that have the machines in the back room. They can play them for, you know, a year. But, you know, the convenience store, boy, we're going to come and we're going to take those out of the convenience store. If it's illegal for one, it's illegal for the other. Why aren't you going after the only reason you wouldn't go after the VFWs? Because you don't have thousands of veterans in the state of Missouri going, screw you, what the hell are you doing? Which most of us are doing anyway when you go driving from here to St. Louis and on the way you stop to get a beverage and you walk in and there's five machines with these signs on them that say shut down because of a civil ruling in a court that has nothing to do with criminal law in the state of Missouri, but interpreted by Hanaway. And you know what else I heard? I heard, I had a guy tell me yesterday that these torch machines, these operators, are being told that they can turn their machines back on in the middle of the month coming up in July. That's what they're being told. Why? If they're allegedly illegal, you know, why is this? Why are we charging some people with crimes and destroying their lives and livelihoods and charging them with felonies in one county and misdemeanors in another for the exact same thing and the exact same machine? This is not equal treatment under the law, is it? It doesn't seem very equal to me. But then again, there's prosecutorial discretion. A prosecutor in one county might go, I ain't charging that, you know. And no prosecutor in his right mind is going to charge a VFW hall anyway. They're not going to do that. You think you're going to get elected next time? Good luck with that theory. That ain't happening. And but if you go after, I don't know, you go after a convenience store owned by a guy from India or Pakistan, maybe you're not going to have as big an impact. That's a bullshit way to think, number one. And number two, who gets to make that decision? Catherine Hanaway? That's nonsense. If you're going to treat people equally, treat them equally. If everybody's, you know, you can't. This is what people have a complaint with for people that, I don't know, do drugs. And, you know, you put the inner city black kid in prison for 7 years in the white college boy who's done the exact same thing gets put on probation. And that's why people bitch about the law and the interpretations of the law and how you, and equality is a hard thing to come by. Why make it worse by making propaganda style statements of the type that have been made by Catherine Hanaway? And so the issue with this lawsuit that was filed in Cole County ended up in front of Judge Green again, and probably rightly so, because he's the one that heard the case for Torch back in 2019, got finally decision after appeal in like 2023, early 2024, don't remember, where they were trying to say, but our machines are legal under Missouri law. And we didn't get to that question because Dan rightly said, listen, the standing issue, I'd be making an advisory opinion because you've not been charged with a crime. You haven't been charged with anything. You haven't claimed that it's unconstitutional. You haven't brought that up. And we can't use a civil court to make a criminal law determination absent somebody having something criminal charged against them. Now, take that exact, and by the way, that was upheld by the Western District of Missouri Appellate Court, upheld that decision by Dan Green, and rightly so. I mean, that's the way the law works. You know, if you don't have any standing, if you don't have any current dispute, a court doesn't give advisory opinions. A court doesn't, it'll rule on constitutionality sometimes if you ask for declaratory relief, but that isn't what Torch asked for in 2019. And even if they had, they may not have gotten it because there was no pending constitutionality issue and they have to be applied to a particular instance. Well, this is the mistake of what's going, in my view, of what is going on the Judge Ross side in the civil federal court in St. Louis. He has made a preponderance of the evidence standard decision claiming that these specific Torch machines are illegal under Missouri law. By the way, that isn't criminal ruling of any kind, and it's not even the appropriate place. A federal law doesn't get to declare. It could declare that the law is unconstitutional or you do something like that, but that's not what was asked. It was declaratory relief, and it didn't need to be used in order to come to the decision that they came to. And so the likelihood in my mind of that thing being overturned on appeal, and the judge wouldn't let him appeal interlocutory, which means right now we get to appeal, and at least that particular decision in the case, we get to appeal, and the judge wouldn't allow that to happen. He denied it. Said, nah, you can appeal it at the end with everything else. This case gone on long enough. That case is going to go on another while they're doing damages and doing federal stuff, and it's a civil case. And usually, federal court, if you follow the court scheduling orders, they go much quicker. But that case has been dragging on forever anyway. And I don't think it's going away. There's too much hanging in the balance, and so. Long term, that will hit. I can't imagine they won't appeal that to the Eighth Circuit because that gives them a solid basis for appeal. They may not win an appeal. I think they will, but who the hell am I? You know, I don't play a lawyer on TV nor on the radio. And I went to law school. So what? You know, and I understand the issues probably better than most, but. That doesn't mean, you know, hell, I've been right and lost before. You know, juries get it wrong. Judges get it wrong. And there are procedures for that if they get it wrong. And so at any rate, I'm very curious into how this comes out. And this current case is kind of a copy. It's not really, but it's a copy of... Because what they've filed, and this is Shappy Inc., doing business as Tuner's Bar and Grill, out of which is a St. Louis, I believe it is, and against Catherine Hanaway. Now it's filed in Cole County, which is the where the seat of government is, of course, and so this is where Dan will get to tell Catherine Hanaway she can or cannot do a particular thing on the administrative side. I have spoken with Representative Vernetti about Missouri statute 536.140 before and the changes that occurred to it in August of last year. And in my view, this petition didn't go far enough in that regard. And in the one that we're filing today on behalf of MOLAG, where Tuners sued just Catherine Hanaway. And they sued only Catherine Hanaway, okay? And basically, it's looking at the use of this these threat letters and these criminal things on her behalf to do several things. They have a declaratory judgment request. 572.010, as construed by defendant to reach devices, violates due process. Okay. And that, under the canons of lenity and constitutional avoidance, does not reach the devices. So basically, this is a justiciable controversy, according to the complainant, to reach devices, whether it's constitutionally valid. Vagueness doctrine is a structural separation of powers protection, not a notice rule. They are outlining why this, why what Catherine Hanaway is doing in enforcing this law is incorrect. The statute, as construed, sweeps in a vast range of lawful conduct that separation of powers defect is made plain. Well, the language of how they put this is far too lawyerly for it to be easily made sense of without going through the entire petition, which I have done on several occasions already. I've read it and checked that. The statute invites arbitrary and discriminatory enforcement. That is for sure. And then it says that Missouri's own enforcement history proves this concept. That's point D. Point E, the General Assembly has repeatedly considered and declined to exact the prohibition defendant imposes by enforcement. Okay? The biggest problem with this petition, when you get done with it, now I'm not saying they're not correct. I like the argument. I don't think it went far enough for count one, but count one is due process. Count two is as applied, which as applied, you are as applied, and basically the other version is as written, as implemented, right? And so you, when you are deciding the constitutionality of a particular statute, you do it in an as applied to a particular set of circumstances, or just in general, as written, as implemented, as the legislature wrote it, basically, okay? And so the as implemented portion means that it's constitutional from the jump, and non-constitutional from the jump. They're not saying that. They're saying that it's, they're saying the due process as she's interpreted it, which, by the way, under Missouri Statute 536.140, I agree with them completely, but they didn't go far enough. And number two, their count number two is as applied vagueness pre-revealed device category in the alternative. They're saying that their machines are, they haven't shown them to be illegal, but they could be arrested for it, which is a big issue. And they only have those two counts. Okay. Now, I don't think they went far enough because, there was a count three. They won a TRO, temporary restraining order, permanent injunction, which they've requested in a third count. Okay. And then their prayer for relief is what they're asking the court to give is to certify a class. My thought on that is they're never going to get a class out of these particular ones. There's too many concrete issues differing among the class. I don't think they get it, but who the hell am I? I don't even practice law. So there you go. They want to enter a declaratory judgment that the statute 572, as construed by defendant to reach particular devices, is unconstitutionally vague in violation of due process. I agree with that wholeheartedly because what she has done, Catherine Hanaway has, is taken a judgment in a civil case about particular machines and expanded it to every machine. As I discussed in a couple of the articles I wrote, that means you could go out and say, you know, some kid playing skee ball and gets tickets on the end there. How come that's that's a prize? You're getting a prize for, you're getting something of value, which is not a very well written statute. And by the way, if these things have been so illegal, why are you still allowing them to operate everywhere else? Why haven't you arrested everybody? Arrest them all. Let God sort it out, right? That's actually comes from the special forces. Kill them all. Let God sort it out, right? And that's probably a bad thing to say, but that's what they say in the special forces. Anyway, this petition is filed. I assume it's probably been served already. It was filed the 18th of June, I think. So we're about a week into that. Ours will be filed today. And ours goes a little bit further. Now, first of all, we are MOLAG. We are Missouri Licensing Advocacy Group. And the Missouri Licensing Advocacy Group has members. The problem, and from what I understand, this petition in itself, they had to find somebody willing to take the hit for the rest of the state and hopefully get people into a class action sort of thing. God love them if they are able to pull this off. Okay. It's a decent argument on the constitutionality. I think they got problems with the class. I think they got problems with how they're going to get to current controversy unless they've been targeted somehow. They haven't been arrested yet. Now they got a target on their back, you know, if Catherine Hanaway wanted to go get him now. But she wouldn't now because she's been sued. More people need to sue. So either everybody that owns a convenience store in the state of Missouri needs to sue, which I do not support, or they need to join MOLAG. And we're getting tons of them to join in because it's an association that works on behalf of them all, but rats out none. Does that make sense? The whole point of having a 501c6 association like MOLAG is so that you can act on their behalf. And this is what MOLAG represents, is the ability for any convenience store, any VFW post, anybody to join in. And that is what we are after. The more, and we support a pretty good number already of operators, convenience stores. We haven't gotten any charitable organizations yet. Bars, places where these machines can be placed, because this is a big freaking issue and somebody needs to stop this lady. Somebody needs to stop her. I mean, somebody goes, well, she's just running for governor. Well, good for her. You know, get your money from whoever's going to give your money, run for office, quit screwing with people. And I don't think that somebody that screws with people as a bureaucrat is a good choice for governor. I think that's nuts that you get to go out to make a name for yourself and destroy hardworking businesses. That's just wrong. And if you want to impose some rules, do it the way normal people do it. You can't be a dictator. Oh, that's, you know what? I know what we need in Missouri, a dictator. Why don't you give us a dictator? We'll throw you on up in the state house. You can live in the governor's mansion and dictate to the rest of us how wrong we are. And how we just need to bend over and kiss the hem of your robe. You know, genuflect when you walk by. That nobody in Missouri believes that's the right way to run a government. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. The people who are in government and want you to genuflect before them, they want that type of government. Our petition goes further because the administrative state of which Catherine Hanaway is a part, is targeting. They are targeting certain high-value locations. Who did they charge with 21 felonies? Who did they charge? One of the biggest convenience store operators in the state. Who did they target? Because if they can take him down, everybody else will just fall into line, right? Who are they targeting? They didn't target Torch. That's the funny part to me. That's the part I do not understand. If these machines are illegal, why is Torch allowed to put a sign on it and leave it sit? I'm not against Torch. I'm with Torch. And then this doesn't account with, what was it, Tsar Peter the, was it Peter the Great? Tia ktonis nami protiv nas, those who aren't with us are against us. And, you know, you're either my friend or my enemy. I don't believe in that. I believe in a much more pragmatic approach. We all have different points of view. And, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know, maybe that's how it goes. I don't know. But these are going to be very interesting times. This lawsuit will be filed later this morning, and we plan to blast it out to each and every state rep, plan to advertise it. I got a new article coming out about it, and I intend to speak about it extensively here and talk about the background of how this issue came to be. And it's like Representative Vernetti said when he was here earlier. This is, he wants clarity. I want clarity. I think it's wrong to not have clarity. I think rules for thee but not for me is something I've been bitching about since I was a arms control interpreter in the 90s. And I never understood different rules for different people, different processes based on who you are or who you know. And frankly, most Americans are against that kind of thing anyway. We want to be treated the same as everybody else. We want everybody to be treated the same. We want to have the expectation that if you have a convenience store and you're from India, that you're going to be treated the same or equal to the African-American guy that owns a convenience store in South St. Louis. Or the big Eagle Stop guy that owns them along the highways, along the interstate, across the state of Missouri. You should all be treated equally, treated the same. And you don't go target one set of people just to go make a name for yourself. I'm very much against that. You remember me talking about this when Ike was going through the BS that he went through? And by the way, I'm very supportive of Ike and his run for Senate as well, as Representative Vernetti and his re-election campaign. I'm for Ike coming in as the new guy in the Senate. And, you know, that boy, he's not a boy, he's a big man. I shouldn't say it'll come kick my butt, but he was targeted. And he was a victim of government targeting. Man after my own heart, because I was targeted by the government too. And I've been targeted. And you know, I don't mind telling my story. My story is my story. I got nothing to be ashamed of or to hide. I got nothing. And those people destroyed my life. Though the government picking winners and losers, which I believe is another thing that Vernetti said when he was sitting here, the government being in the business of picking winners and losers is complete crap. Even if it is the state of Missouri, it's just wrong. And you shouldn't get to pick winners and losers or destroy someone's life because you have a different religious or I don't even call it a universe, a different view of the universe. That ain't right. Well, okay, fine. It might not be right for you in your perspective. And what do you care if somebody wants to go spend their time and effort sitting with their buddies playing a game in a back part of a VFW hall? What do you care? I mean, seriously, why have you created this issue? That's the big question for me. Who died and made you God, you know, to tell everybody else that they can't take care of their families, their employees? You know, I mean, Vernetti said it. Do you know how much money for the state that is? What did he tell us? $250 to $300 million a year? $250 to $300 million in the state coffers per year. Think about how many people that employs. Think about how much money for the state to distribute for education and veteran stuff. I think that's what it was in the bill. I'd have to go through the last version. But one of the last versions said that they were having it. One of the things I asked him in prep for the meeting had to do with highway patrolmen, because it was actually saying that they wanted to, when they start to regulate these machines, they want to train them. They want to train a set of highway patrolmen to understand the where and why these machines are illegal or what makes them illegal. We created a bunch of stickers, and these stickers say protected by MOLAG. We're actually for creating a series of regulation or some kind, because what Catherine Hanaway and company are missing right now is an operator was sitting in my office a couple of weeks ago, and I was chatting with him about where we're going, what we're trying to get done as MOLAG, and while we were sitting there, he got a phone call. Phone calls from a convenience store owner. Says, I just got a call from a highway patrolman. Says he's coming and he wants to shut down my machines. What should I do? You know, how do I do this? And so find out why he's coming and what they said. You know, and I'm listening to this conversation, and guy comes back. He goes, he said he was sent here by Catherine Hanaway's office. Well, that's curious. Why? I mean, who says these machines are illegal? The officer doesn't know. What makes it illegal? I mean, you get to walk in. Oh, the machine's illegal. All right. So there I am sitting in my house, and I have. Make it the bar. I own a bar. Let's say I own a bar, and in walks a highway patrolman, and there's some white dust on the counter. He can't just say that's cocaine. You're arrested. I mean, what if I was baking baking cookies first? That's friggin' flour. There's no test. There's no nothing. You don't have to know something about why you're arresting him. That's my problem. Who the hell gets to choose and based upon what information? That's what we're fighting here at Civic Outlaws. I've ranted for the whole program on this, and we're going to continue this. And hopefully I'll be providing on the website, civicoutlaws.com, our filed petition here later today and stories related thereto. I appreciate you listening to Damn Radio, to Civic Outlaws. Join us next Friday on Civic Outlaws here from 7 to 8:30 a.m. Have a very beautiful mid-Missouri day.